This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Florida plays Auburn. Duke plays Houston. Florida, Auburn, right? Carlin, conference rivalry. They played twice. Right. I can do this. Florida, Auburn, Duke, Houston. The map.
That's right.
The country wants Houston because they're playing Duke.
You're the one bringing it back up, so I guess I'll pick at you a little. We talked to Carlin Hartman, your friend.
I know, but not about Auburn, really, for a minute.
I mentioned that they conference. Yeah, right. So I can't believe that, you know, two or three days later that you botched that.
I don't know.
That's all right.
UB plays Troy. The WNIT, I didn't ever know that that existed until this year, but it goes back to 1998. In fact, I think 94 for it as a preseason event. There's both a preseason and a postseason WNIT. So good luck to UB.
Yeah, tomorrow 6 o'clock, and yeah, they get to host the game. That's pretty awesome.
Yep. Sal Capaccio now on the Wester Hotline. Happy birthday, Sal.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Great day for it, obviously, out at the stadium. By the way, real quickly, just corrections. So people don't show up late, it is 5 p.m. tomorrow at UB at Alumni Arena.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. Yes, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay. 5 p.m. at Alumni Arena tomorrow. Yeah, the WNIT. I would say, too, I'm thinking about this schedule tomorrow for the Final Four. I don't know. I mean, wouldn't Florida Auburn sound like it's the better game than Houston Duke? Maybe not, because that's going to be the early game. A lot of times they just do it on, you know, the better game. But Duke, I guess, is the bigger draw than anyone in this field. I guess you could have done anything, but it is Florida Auburn first and then Houston Duke.
I think by far Duke would be the
most
reason.
Famous team,
yeah.
You know.
That's probably. Why, right? Yeah. Still, I think you're right now.
Still so late.
Yeah.
Still so late. Anyway, old man complaint. Sal, what was it like out there today?
It was cool for me personally to see something I had never been a part of, never witnessed. I'm not in the construction business. For a couple of years of my life when I was younger, I did work a little construction in the summer during college, but we went the other way. I was like helping to pour walls, like foundations, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something like this, with something going up, a structure like that, and being a part of that and watching that was really unique and cool for me. I'd never experienced it. I said to somebody, it's kind of the opposite of the ball dropping on New Year's Eve, because you're taking something going from the ground all the way up and putting it in and say, okay, we're here, right? And then, you know, I guess it didn't dawn on me or hit me how big of a deal it was for the Bills and the NFL and the league. I knew it was for the Bills, but the NFL and everything, until you got there and saw so many people and dignitaries of the league, including Roger Goodell. And obviously the governor was there, and, you know, you'd expect the county commissioner and people from the city and the county. But that kind of put it a little bit more in perspective, and holy cow, guys, I mean, the workers, thousands of workers, and, you know, hats off to them, no pun intended, with their construction hats. But, you know, just to see all of them out there in their, you know, bright uniforms, you know, that they work when they're on the site was just really cool as well.
Yeah, nothing surprising about the politicians being there. And, of course, the workers are on site. I was surprised about Goodell, but I have to admit, I'm not one who's paying attention to any team's stadium construction and when they would have this sort of ceremony for, you know, the last piece of steel going in. I have no idea if Goodell has been in other venues for this. Like, was he in California when SoFi got finished?
Probably.
But I would guess probably is the answer. But, you know, there is a special tie that he has to the area, having been from, having grown up in Jamestown. So, yeah, I don't know if that matters. But, yeah, I was surprised that it was as big a deal. I had been hearing, I know I saw Pete Guelli tweeting about that there was something happening today, but I had no idea it was going to be this spectacle that it turned out to be.
Listen, let me tell you something. When I went to the owners' meetings last week, I had my one-on-one with Pete Guelli, and that's when he first said, hey, we're going to have a topping out ceremony on April 4th. And I'm like, oh, and he explained what that was. That's the first I had heard of it. I didn't know. Yeah. And then this kind of percolated this week. And then somebody from the NFL said to me, hey, you're going to be there on Friday? And I'm thinking, yeah, I'll be there. Like, are you going to be there? I didn't know. This was during the owners' meetings. And then as the week went on and we learned, you know, from the Bills, hey, we're having, you know, this ceremony. I guess maybe you just want to make sure everything stays on schedule before you totally put something like that out there, right? I guess that would be maybe part of the reason why. But it was out there. You know, Goodell, you know, you're right, the tie to the area and, you know, him, I think he was a pretty big driving force here along with Kim and Terry. And I think this is kind of something that, you know, he's been a part of since the beginning. Not that he isn't in other markets. I get a sense, though, that he might have been closer to this actual project, not just because of he's from this area, but even closer to this project than he might have been with other teams, because I think Buffalo was unique because, you know, for so many years, and I've said this many times today, as you guys know, you grew up the same way, hearing this team's going to leave, Ralph's going to sell the team, the stadium, they're never going to be able to do this. And I think that, you know, Roger Goodell was a big part of, once Terry Pegula took over in 2014, he was a big part of doing that. So, yeah, I thought that as well. I asked Roger Goodell once, by the way. I just want you to know, I always wonder. I said, hey, I know your dad was, you know, his dad took over for Robert F. Kennedy after Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated. I don't know if people know that story. His dad was a New York State assemblyman and became the senator. And I said, is Goodell Street in Buffalo named after your family? And surprisingly, he told me no, he doesn't think it is. I didn't know. He said it goes back longer than that, obviously, but I didn't know that. But, you know, it's just kind of interesting that that's the case, too.
Yeah, it really is something. Like, thinking about his role in this, mostly my feeling whenever I heard Goodell talk about a future Bills stadium, I felt threatened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and like to be here with him there for the all, like that it's actually happening, you know, is really quite something.
And maybe it was threatening back before Terry and Kim took over. And then maybe we got in a little bit of a funky spot for a year or so you know, before it was actually built. When I will tell you this, guys, when Terry and Kim bought the team in 2014, I had plenty of conversations with Kim about this. And she told me a couple things, you know, and first of all, she's just assured, like, well, we're going to get this done. Like, you know, obviously it's going to take a lot, but we're going to do it. You know, we're not worried about it right now. We're just kind of, we got a lot of other things we have to take care of. We're going to get this done. So once that happened, it was a little more putting me at ease. But she was the first person that I'd heard say, Kim told me this years ago that, you know, when we do it, Sal, it'll be like 60 to 65,000 seats. I'm like, well, why would you take so many seats away? And she was the first one. I give her so much credit. She said, look where this league is going. Like, you could stay at home and you can watch Sunday Ticket. You can do your gambling. You can do all that stuff. We need to give people a reason to go to the games. So what we have to do is concentrate on the amenities inside the stadium. Not as many people going, but when you get there, you have a great experience. And I give Kim a lot of credit for having that foresight.
Got to at least mention also Governor Hochul in this too, having the good fortune, I would say, in Western New York to have her in the seat probably made a difference, maybe a massive difference in, you know, this coming to fruition. I find it all basically saying, echoing what you guys are saying, mostly surreal that it is, that it's real, that it's actually there. That would have been, I think, what I would have been thinking had it been out there today. I mean, I've seen it like you guys have, you know, you drive by it and like, okay, this is happening. This is really happening. You go to that stadium experience and just sort of like, it's a fantasy. Now that's happening 2026. Everything's on time, and the current stadium is going down. Pete told Sal the following March.
That's right. He told me that when I talked to him at the owners' meetings. That was kind of reiterated today by a couple of people. that stadium will stay up through the first season of Bills football. Now, granted, you know, there's not going to be used for Bills football, but a couple things. Number one, I would assume you'd want that stadium up in case, you know, there are any hiccups or anything. Like, at least you have a stadium there.
Right, don't wreck it happen, before right? the other one's fully functional. Right,
right, right.
Yeah, right.
But the other thing that people have to understand is, outside of that stadium, the Bills' offices, the field house, the practice facility, that's all staying where it is. They're not moving that across the street. Right, that's all brand new. Like, they're going to have everything set up and still do everything Monday through Saturday, essentially, across the street where it currently is. There's no reason to do anything different. And then on game day, you know, you play inside the stadium. No different than a lot of teams in the league do, basically.
Sal, forgive me, because I was away when you had the chance to talk to Pete Guelli about all this stuff. Have they talked at all, has he talked at all to you or anyone else in general, about what sort of plans there might be for the opening of the new stadium? Like, will there be something before a Bills game?
Yeah.
You know, like when the arena opened, I think the Goo Goo Dolls played before there was a hockey game in there. Or maybe I've got that mixed up and they played at the Odd before the Odd got torn. Anyway, whatever it is. Because I saw Brian Mazurowski from our News Radio 930 this morning had, I thought, a great idea. Like a weekend festival, if both stadiums are still standing, have something in the old stadium and then the next night have another show in the new stadium.
It's a great question. It's partly Brian's answer is partly spurred on by what Pete Guelli did tell me, which is what he said was they don't want to go into the new stadium for the Bills game cold. They just want to walk in there and run an NFL game. You got to work out some kinks, like a soft opening.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have something or some things planned starting in July of 27 right now. What that is, we don't know. They have ideas. He didn't disclose those to me. I still think they're figuring that out. So what's happened, Bulldog, when you were away, a lot of people had some fun with this, right? When I tweeted that out, it's like, okay, let's see what creativity we can have here. What are we doing in the new stadium? Are you going to have a concert? Who is it going to be? What's the best thing to do? Are you going to play soccer there? Are you going to play lacrosse there? All of these things can be on the table for sure. Are we doing a monster truck? I don't think so. Even a concert would have effect on the field, right?
Yep.
I mean, are you going to actually do that to this brand new pristine field you're putting in? Or I don't know how all this is going to work. So there's been a lot of ideas out there. You know, it's funny that some people, some of the ideas are great, and they would say, well, you got to have an act that's a great act. And I'm like, I don't know if you have to. And I would say, to me, what you said about the Goo Goo Dolls, I go, what about a local group that really people are going to buy tickets to go to the stadium, not necessarily see the group or the band?
Yeah.
Sure, you want a big name. That would fit for me. I think of anything local. I don't know. Maybe a concert. But he didn't say specifically, but it's a great question because everybody's having a little bit of their own creativity with this.
Right. You can go a lot of different ways. You could go for the big marquee act and charge $300
right.
bucks for tickets, or you could go with your idea, like you said, someone smaller, maybe even local, like you said, and, you know, get 60,000 people to pay $20 to come out there and just like be a part of it. Like that would be kind of cool.
No doubt. And I would anticipate, he didn't tell me this for sure, but just from talking to people, I would anticipate that season ticket holders will have an ability at some point to go in and have something where they're going to see things, get the lay of the land before they go into the stadium. I think all of that is kind of being discussed.
Yeah.
The other thing that was discussed about this is what to do with the surrounding area of the stadium. They have their vision there too. Now they own the ECC, old ECC property, which is right there. And Mark Poloncarz said today what he would like to see is some sort of entertainment district around mm-hmm. there. So obviously there's some thoughts there as well, like what to do around the area. I mean, I don't know what is ultimately going to happen, but I do think that people are coming together. And I'll tell you, you know the way this works, guys, right? There's all different government entities, right? You have the state, you have the county, you have Orchard Park, and then they're close to other proximities to places and things like that. So everybody's kind of got to get together to figure this out. But I will tell you, just from the conversations I had with people today, like those conversations are happening.
Yeah. You know what I like about what you said about the fans getting a chance to get in there at some point, whether it's an event or not? It reminds me of what you've always said about McDermott and the blue-white-blue-red scrimmage, right? Get the players in there. They let them, if they want to brush their teeth, they know where to go do that. Like, just get them familiar with the surroundings. As the fans kind of need the same privilege, I guess, right? New surroundings.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Listen, I talked, you guys can, I think we probably have the sound at WGR550.com. I talked with Chris Brown about this today, and I walked up to Chris. Chris was looking up, and I said, all right, Chris Brown, are you looking at where you're going to be calling the game from the radio booth? And he said, yeah, and he has been involved in some of those discussions that kind of asked those questions, right? And he actually gave some detail about what that's going to look like. So everybody's got a stake in this, whether it's a season ticket holder, a worker, you know, me on the field. At some point, I'd like to see, where am I going? Where's the locker room? How do I get to the field from here, right? All of those things have to happen at some point.
We can talk about this later some more. I think it's interesting. I do think it's a kind of a tough needle to thread. What that event would be. It can't just be anything. And people are going to want to go there, and it's got to measure up to the occasion of the opening of the stadium. It's the first thing. It can't be just, you know, I love our February fixed draft, Sal. It can't be the February fixed draft. Like, you know, if they wanted us for the first day, we'd move it to July. I think that we'd all agree on that. But it's got to be... I wonder if lacrosse really is viable. Like, that's the PLL season is right there, and they move those games around every weekend. I mean, Albany is New York's city for that league. Mm-hmm. New York Atlas is the name of the team, but come on, like, this is a pretty cool opportunity if it were available. Soccer seems kind of obvious too, if there were some friendly or some MLS. Mm-hmm. Those, I think, would be my two top guesses for it, but you know, we've got some time.
I would guess concert more than a sporting event myself. Okay. But Sale makes a good point about the, you know, the, I don't know what sort of problems that could present, but I know they're planning on using that venue for concerts at some point, right? I mean, it's part of the reason they wanted to do what they're doing.
This is July of 2026, by the way, we're talking about, or even June, I suppose, but before the Bills move in. Yesterday, you had the dates for the off-season program. Mm-hmm. Of course, still one more year in the current stadium. And stuff happens as soon as 2 weeks from Monday.
April 21 is the first day, first day of off-season workouts. If you have a new coach, you're allowed to begin earlier than that. I think you're the 7th or the 14th, either way. Then teams with returning coaches, they can begin later. April 21st for the Bills, they will have their OTAs the end of May for 3 days, and then the beginning of June the following week for 4 days, and then a mandatory minicamp wraps everything up June 10 through 12. I do think it's interesting, and I want to point out, I don't know the answer to this. I didn't talk to anybody yet because this happened yesterday with the schedule. This is the first time I can remember the Bills only having 2 weeks of OTAs. They normally have three. Now, you can also have a voluntary veteran minicamp or an OTA. Like, you can do one or the other, but either way, it doesn't matter. They're not doing that extra week. You get 9 weeks from the start of your program to the end of your program. You get 9 weeks. The Bills generally take those 9 weeks. They're only doing 8 this year. And I don't know what the reasoning is, but they only have 2 OTA weeks, May 27th through 29, June 2nd, 3rd, and 5th. So 2 weeks of 3 days.
They want to minimize the fines to James Cook. That's why they're eliminating.
Other people tweeted the same thing.
Oh, really? Sorry. I'm such a hack.
Good one, Bulldog.
Actually, no. I shouldn't say that. I got a couple texts about that. That's what I said. But my friends having fun.
Oh, that's a big difference then. I wanted your friends rather than just random bots.
I didn't bring it up on social media, but somebody did text me. One of our media colleagues texted me, hey, did you find this weird? I'm like, oh, yeah. And then someone else did, so that was funny.
I wouldn't expect that you've had a chance to talk to anybody over there about the Hard Knocks possibility. But how do you feel about the possibility that the Bills could end up on Hard Knocks?
I have not yet. A lot of the stuff came out last week when we were at the owners' meetings and some of the changes, I guess.
I could see it.
I don't think the Bills would ever really want to do that. The Bills really like doing the red and blue stuff.
Right, their own stuff.
The embedded. Yeah, they're the embedded. And they have a lot of, there's good access there. And I think they feel very comfortable doing that. You know, look, I think for the Bills or anybody, you saw what happened last year with the New York Giants too, right? And whether it's the offseason or the in-season, you just want to be aware and know that it can go really off the rails. Even if it's unintended and you have the best intentions, they really like doing it. I think, if I remember right, I think Brandon Bean was asked about it at some point recently. Maybe it was the end of your press conference, and he mentioned the embedded and how that's a really good opportunity for them to do those kinds of things.
Nobody wants to do Hard
Knocks,
though.
Right, but somebody has to, right? Like, that's the point. Yeah. Somebody's going to get strong-armed into doing
it, even if they don't want to. It's been many years. They've never been on. There's, like, multiple Hard Knocks now. So the stadium storyline is an interesting added piece, too.
The MVP Allen, quarterback, right?
I could see it. I would think that they'd be... It's always about how the Bills are a popular team, you know, TV and look, primetime schedule.
We'll see how it all comes together when that production, whoever is featured in it, you know, gets off the ground. But I would bet, Sal, that what happened to Joe Shane and the Giants this past summer means teams are going to have way more say-so about what gets on the air and what doesn't. And I think maybe, in a way, as interesting as it was and as much as it got played up, it could be the thing that kills Hard Knocks. Because what makes it interesting is stuff that is, well, interesting that happens or controversial. And the more control the people involved have, the, you know, the subjects of the documentary, the less that's likely to happen, you know? So I wouldn't expect that whatever form it takes and whoever ends up being on it, I would doubt that there ends up being any kind of a smoking gun that could come back to make someone look ridiculous because of what happened to the Giants.
You're probably right about that. I think that's right. We'll see. I will tell you, I remember, you know, when at the Combine, that's when it was first starting to come out, you know, in media circles that it wouldn't be an NFL team. They were going to do North Carolina, right? Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah,
North Carolina,
yes.
Bill Belichick.
Yes.
And then the kibosh got put on that. Like, no, for some reason, something happened with Belichick or Lombardi, somebody. But anyway, that was going to happen, and then it wound up not happening. But they were pivoting from the NFL because everybody's like, hey, not going to be me, the offseason Hard Knocks.
You get paid for it, I bet. I don't know. Should I know? I bet the team gets paid. Like, Bulldog, is your point is logical, but at the same time, these kind of docu-series, they call them, in sports, are happening more and more often. There's a Red Sox one that's starting now on Netflix where they're embedded with the Red Sox. So I do feel, you know, the success of the F1 series and golf and tennis have had theirs. I think that's hockey. Was a winter classic.
I'm not saying they're going away. What I'm saying is it's going to kill it being any good. What happened last year with the Giants? It's going to be less interesting. I have no doubt. I mean, that space is growing in content creation around sports, but teams, leagues, players themselves are going to want to control it much more. And like those F1 things, you know, I bet there's a lot more juicy stuff that happens while those cameras are rolling that gets left on the floor because they're in charge of it.
The Bills also, I don't know if this ends up mattering, but they're really good at keeping, you know, the words right. Like they don't step in it. And Daboll does all the time. Like that was predictable. Maybe the Giants would be a team where that would be, you know, the owner there and everything like that. That's not going to, well, at least in terms of Sean and Brandon here, it's probably not much to worry about. Well, I kind of hope it happens. 1,000th game for Aaron Judge tonight, or right now, actually. I think it just started in Pittsburgh, 4 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's a 4 o'clock game. I didn't realize it was a 4 o'clock game.
I think it is.
Against
home
the
opener.
Pirates. Okay, that's why. And no Skeens this weekend against the Yankees, I guess, right? No, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I don't think he's scheduled to play.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitch tonight or the weekend against the Yankees.
Okay.
1,000 games for Aaron Judge. He kind of just came on the scene a little bit older than a lot of these, you know, big-time hitters and big-time players. So, you know, it's interesting. He's 1,000 games now. Real quick, before I go with you guys, next week, going to do our pod with Mike North. I know you guys love that, the schedule. So here's your chance. You can text me. Think of a question. Mike, last year you gave me a great question. I think it was the Week 18 thing or something like that, and I asked him. So if you have a good question for Mike North this year, he will be appearing on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and me next week. We're going to be recording that.
Can't wait.
Good to know.
Happy birthday again. Thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, man. You too, Sal. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Let's hear ideas for the first event at the stadium. Like, I don't know. I don't have an idea yet that feels perfect. I mean, a concert can be fine, right? Even great,
but it's one thing to have a concert. Like someone on the YouTube chat here said, and this sounds correct. I was right. It was Goo Goo Dolls, Bare Naked Ladies, and 10,000 Maniacs played at the arena. That was like the first event at the arena. that's an 18,000 seat arena. That's a good size venue for that show. That right. show in a 65,000 seat stadium.
No,
this is not going to work. Unless it's just one of these things, like Sal said, people are just going to want to go anyway. So like almost whatever it is, like, so maybe that could still work. You know, if there's, it doesn't have to be like Oasis reunion or something. It could be something smaller.
Taylor.
And just have, you know, people are going to want to go just because they want to go check out the stadium.
Yep. So, yep. I think it might be better if it's a sporting event, but okay. Lines open for your calls at 803-0550. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Back in the fall, employees got a chance to kind of tour the framework as it existed at that point in time. And I will tell you, for people that have not been in there yet, it is a very intimate feeling building. Even though it was only framework and prefab concrete was just going in, the other side of the stadium looks so much closer in this building than it does in the old bowl framework of the old Highmark Stadium. And a lot of people described it as feeling like a big hockey arena. It's going to be a very intimate stadium when this thing is complete.
Love it. Chris Brown this morning out at the stadium. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. One fun topic of discussion around the stadium is how to open it. Pete Guelli, COO of the Bills and Sabres, told Sal a few days ago, it's in writing at the website, WGR550.com, that he wants there to be some event that they use as kind of a rehearsal mm-hmm. before the Bills move in. So what should that be? 803-0550 for your calls. Talking draft two, we haven't gotten into that yet, but it's legally necessary that we talk about the draft at least some. So we will be sure to do that. I don't want any trouble.
Me neither. I want to go into the weekend with a clean conscience.
Yes.
I mean, as close to clean as I can get at this point.
John is with us. Hello, John.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So, talking about ideas for the new stadium in July 26, it makes sense to me that the Bills might look at finally moving training camp from Rochester back to Buffalo in the new stadium. It's football focused. Now, it's probably not going to draw 60,000 people a day. It might, but it would allow the team to have a soft open mm-hmm. for the stadium, and it would be an exciting event for fans in Buffalo to finally have training camp from Rochester back to the new stadium.
It's a reasonable enough idea. Only problem is that I saw Pete Guelli recently talking about how they're looking at extending like a multi-year agreement to continue having training camp in Rochester. So I doubt that that is in the cards, but it's a good enough idea.
Yes.
But I don't think it's realistic considering that they're going to continue their relationship with St. John Fisher University.
Yeah, you got it. Nailed it. All right. What about the UFL? The Battle Hawks and the Renegades. Mm. Is that a team? Florida versus Auburn, Duke versus Houston. UFL game, spring, you know, sort of test run it. I think the best idea, my new favorite idea has been sent on Twitter by a listener named Mike, who said, what about SummerSlam?
A big wrestling event.
A big wrestling event might be perfect. The way I think about this, I don't know if the Bills would think it's the worst idea ever, but like it's pretty big.
Yeah, those events happen in football stadiums.
Yeah.
Domed ones, usually, I think, but still.
Okay. I wonder if always, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It was funny to hear Sal mention, like, monster trucks, right? Like, I just, like, they have those in the arena, too. It's tough. I went to one when the kids were little. The stadium is a much bigger venue for that. Another listener on Twitter, Anthony, suggested the new USL soccer team that is looking for a venue. I think they're talking about doing something downtown, near one of the parking lots across from the arena downtown, but they're supposed to start in 2026. Like, that would be good. That's perfectly reasonable. And I'm not against the lacrosse or soccer idea, it being a sporting event. I guess I just sort of like the concert idea. Whatever it is, it needs to be something that I think is, like, I don't need it to be U2, okay? Like, I think because that you'd go into that. First of all, that's a super expensive ticket. And then your expectation is, like, if you're looking for a dry run, if you're the Bills, I think you want people to be coming in without heightened expectations. Like, if you're spending $1,000 on tickets to see Bruce Springsteen, you're going and you want everything to work, right? You know, it's not a dry run, I don't think. And so...
Yeah, not exactly.
The right? I mean, I think the price point for access to the event matters. Because if you're sort of trying things on, then that gives me the impression that you'll be working out wrinkles, which is totally understandable. But you don't want that at something people paid a premium platinum price to get into. Mm-hmm. So that's where, to me, soccer, lacrosse, a smaller, you know, a concert featuring bands that, you know, play arenas, okay, not a band that plays bars. Like, Sal mentioned, I don't think there's a local band that I can think of that could pull off playing in a stadium and not just look almost ridiculous doing it. It's just such a big show. It's just a different sort of production that, you know, you just don't have. There's just no way for me that could be pulled off. But, you know, a smaller, you know, like I said, that doesn't have to be, can be more contemporary than that, even although they're still active. You know, a show like that wouldn't draw 60,000 fans to the current stadium. But again, you make the price right and you're getting everybody in there and it's more relaxed. And, you know, I don't think you want to make it free either, because then people just treat it like it doesn't really mean anything. So you just got to find a sweet spot there where, yeah, I got to work, I got to spend something to get it, I'm going to respect it, but it's not so pricey that I'm going in there and I'm going to be mad if the bathrooms don't work or something. You know, like, just you got to be ready to go in and have it maybe be bumpy because it's the first time, you know, going around the new place.
What about rodeo? Let's get some rodeo going in there.
I'm into that.
Kick up that field day one.
Right, talk about wrecking.
Just absolutely destroy the place day one. Rodeo. Right. Curling probably out.
I would guess that that's probably out, yes.
But you know, they do play, it seems seamless how these NHL games in warm climates just go off outdoors now. I guess it's like nothing to,
yeah,
you know, Florida. So maybe curling could be likewise. We could get that out there. Like a slam event. They're in the States now. One of the slams next year is in Tahoe.
Really?
Yeah. All-star event this year in Nashville. I'm just kidding. It's not going to be the first event at the new stadium. I can dream. Lacrosse would fit with the time of year. Soccer would, too. Respectfully toward the Buffalo team, I'm thinking more like Tottenham Hotspur and somebody. They have those. Like, a few big European clubs come over in the summer and play MLS teams or each other, whatever it is,
in
big stadiums. And I'm for that. The Bills have played in the Spurs stadium, so maybe the Spurs can play in theirs.
That, to me,
Spurs, not those
if
Spurs.
You're talking about Premier League teams or La Liga, like famous European football, that price point is going in the direction that I don't think
you
I want to go. Yeah.
Too big an event?
Yeah.
A friendly between Spurs and Borussia Dortmund, our sister city from Germany.
I don't think those teams are that charitable about where they go play. I think they get compensated handsomely. So if they're getting compensated handsomely, then, you know, who's? I think it's too big. That is like U2 to me. Is
really
like English soccer. Yeah, I think.
What about like a second flight team?
Right. Get Wrexham over here.
Wrexham. Really, I don't know. I kind of feel like it isn't quite that, but I don't know. I've never looked up tickets for one of those.
Yeah,
thought of going. I know there are a few teams coming again this year, though.
Yeah, they do it every year. I think maybe more and more leagues and teams are doing that.
Everton, Arsenal, first up tomorrow,
7 a.m.
Is it maybe?
I don't know. That often is the first game on Saturday. It's 7 a.m.
When we turned the clocks ahead, all those soccer times moved up an hour because they didn't bother turning clocks around.
Is it 8 a.m. maybe tomorrow then? I don't know.
Maybe.
I haven't looked.
Could be a trip down hurdle for little Saturday morning
soccer. Look at you.
Soccer. Maybe.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, I've got lacrosse tomorrow.
They are 7:30 tomorrow. Everton Arsenal. That's I'm seeing. USA Network.
Everton's first loss the other day to Liverpool in a long time. Mostly they tie. That's something, though. It's not a loss. Everton. I'm telling you who my favorite teams. Everton, Borussia Dortmund, and the Spurs idea I like because, again, the connection with
the Bills,
playing.
Having there. Played in their stadium already.
Yeah, yeah. That's all that is. Was Dave Rayner at the thing today? The topping house? He should have been there.
I did. I saw a photo of like the dais before it began, and it was from behind all the seats, and there were little like name tags on a lot of the chairs, and I sort of scanned through there to like, oh, who's invited here, and the first name I saw was Scott Radichuk. Mm-hmm. And are there going to be a bunch of Bills alumni at this thing? No, he is very prominent in the architectural firm. It took me a second because I saw no other Bills players' names that I recognized. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right.
He's on that side of it now.
He's on that side of
it. Is it HOK?
That sounds right.
All right. Here's Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys, I was thinking about the opening of the stadium and thought it would be cool if they televised the comeback game on the what I'm assuming is going to be some pretty big screens in there.
You would hope.
You would hope.
Yep. You would hope, yeah. Thanks, Mike. I don't know if I would go to that. Some people would. What do you want to draw for whatever this is going to be? You want to pack the place?
You don't want
it empty.
Right. I think you want it close to packed because that's if you're doing a dry run, right? I mean, what are you proving if you open the doors to the stadium and you handle 20,000 people in there? You know, you're definitely going to learn some things, but I think you want pretty close to a full house, parking, you know, foot traffic getting in and out and you know, services and everything. I think you want, that's the purpose of the dry run. I think you want a pretty full house.
This isn't really fair to the caller and his point because I get the premise of it, but you have all these fancy new screens. You're not going to put a game from 1992 on it to show how cool your screens are, right?
There's no
offense to the guy because that's not what he was going for.
But right.
You can't do that, I think.
Yeah, unless there's a way to enhance like 35-year-old video and make it look like 4K. I don't think you're pulling
What's the
it
game
off.
You would pick then?
The New England playoff game.
I think I'd pick 13 seconds, just not show the end. That's the best one. That's the best it ever got.
Yeah.
Until that final sequence.
You know, I mistakenly deleted that from my Fubo for a long time after that game had happened. I said, like, I don't know when I'm ever going to watch it, but it's sitting there. I'm saving it. And at some point, I went on a delete bender because it started taping. For a while, it was taping every Sabres game. I just had to go in and search clean stuff out. Like, what did I do?
You don't need any of it.
No, I don't remember asking it to record these things. Like, it's one of these things that I think if you do it once, like, hey, I want to record this football game, then it just starts recording Bills games, including the replays on the NFL Network. Mm. Like, it just, so I just went through, delete, and I must have just gotten, it got away from me. I deleted that game, and I knew it immediately. I went, oh! I liked having that as something we could talk about. Even, hey, have you ever gone back and watched it? Like, and I know I can find it anywhere. So it's,
yeah, all you do, not, YouTube, boom, there it is. Deal,
but I liked it Done. Being there. Like every time I would go in that area of my that app, you know, it was the only thing I had saved in recordings was that Bills Chiefs 13 seconds game, and now that's gone. I'm like, I kind of miss it.
You like the significance of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get Neil in quickly. Hi, Neil.
Hey, I'm going back to the Tottenham Hotspur idea for the opening event at the new stadium.
Yes.
Next summer is a World Cup year, and so those preseason friendlies are less of a draw because all the World Cup players are not okay. on those tours.
I didn't realize that.
Okay,
I mean, fair enough. Maybe that would ruin that idea. Would it? How many World Cup players would be on, you know, an average Premier League team? Two? One?
I was going to say five. A lot of countries.
There are so many countries.
There's a lot of countries.
And there are a lot of countries that will not have any players in the Premier League at all.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Most?
That's
not
right.
Most.
Yeah. And I don't know how much, whether or not you know, the stars of the teams are there or not. I don't know how. I've never paid close enough attention. The only time I watched one of those matches was when Man United was on a tour and I was in the hospital. And so I don't even remember who they played, but I was laid up. And so, like, oh, my team is playing somebody in San Francisco or wherever. I don't remember where they were playing. And I watched it, and I don't think it was all the A-listers. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know.
Juniors.
Yeah, you know, whatever. So,
okay.
I don't know that has to be. It's more the name of the team that's the draw than, you know.
Okay. All right, I won't give up on it. Thanks, no. Neil. Mike Schopp and the Bulldog here, back after this timeout on WGR. Taking your calls with ideas on how they should open the stadium next summer. The Bills have said they'd like to have an event there before they move in. So what's best? My favorite idea that I heard is wrestling. My favorite idea of my own is Premier League exhibition, but Bulldog thinks that's too rich.
Yeah, I think so. And concert is my favorite idea. The SummerSlam is already scheduled for somewhere next summer.
Well,
so that's out for us. I think Zach told me during the break. I forget. Maybe he said Minneapolis, but that's already been assigned.
That's maybe a challenge in this. Is, you know, think about golf tournaments and such. Like, they're planned way in advance, so you'd have to get something that moves concert up the list.
Yeah.
Because any sort of big, maybe those Premier League games have also already been, you know, booked.
It might be, yeah.
And you don't have the facility yet.
Right.
That might be right. Let's go to Doug next. Hi, Doug.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I actually love the concert idea, but not, like you said, Bulldog, you two might be too big.
Right.
But I've been to a lot of, like, rock festivals because that's my style of music. But how about, like, a one-day rock festival that starts at, like, 9 in the morning and goes till nighttime, where you get, like, Shinedown being the lead band and then working your way down, 3 Days Grace, all them.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get the experience of tailgating. Okay, where are we going to tailgate now with the new stadium? Because it's going to be farther away than the other lots. And, you know, there's bands that people aren't going to want to see, so then they're going to be walking around using the facilities and the restaurants or whatever they have. So you get, like, make it a whole day event.
Yeah, I like this idea. Certainly a music festival or concert is my favorite idea. I think, though, like, the bands you're mentioning and, like, hard, I think you want something that's going to be more friendly, you know, like, more family friendly even. And so I doubt that you go too hard. You're going to want something that's very middle of the road, I think. Right. So, what that is, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but they're, it's out there. I mean, it's not my genre, but something that's, you know, in the middle lane, safe.
Should it be mine?
You know,
it might be mine, but my bands are all old.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Let's get Ambrosia in there.
Right. Yeah.
Let's get Journey in there. That's better.
That's more Journey. What I'm talking about. Like, I would not be excited about that, but it would work. Like, I'm prepared to not love whatever this event is going to be. I don't want it to be my stuff. Like, I'm not going to tell. I think Wilco should open the stadium. Like, I'm not a moron. I don't mean to imply that the caller wanting his genre of music means he's a moron. I'm just saying. I'm not over here thinking it's going to be a something that I'm going to be. Oh, I can't wait to go to that. I'm not really care what the event is. I can't wait to go to see the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of why I'm saying don't make it about the acts or the events as much, because the stadium should be the star of the show. And that's, to me, where lacrosse or soccer comes in, because I don't think 60,000 people are like, oh, I can't wait to go watch some lacrosse. But, careful. You know, it's a nice day in the summer, and it's the stadium, and tickets are cheap, and it's my first chance to go check it out. Yeah, fine. I'll go sit and look at a lacrosse game for 20 minutes and then walk around and do whatever I'm going to do. Like, that could work, even maybe better than a concert. Because a concert gets tricky with, you know, like, the caller kind of reminding me of it. You know, like, what genre is it? You know, like, what works? You don't necessarily want a show where people are going to be drinking 40-ounce beers out of cowboy boots.
You don't
either.
Want Woodstock.
No, right.
Yeah, you might want Journey, but you don't want Woodstock.
Not that I'm against drinking 40 ounces of beer out of a cowboy boot. I'm just saying, I don't think that's the show you want to open the stadium.
Right. Back after the update here on WGR.